This episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards. 5815 Weber, not your average heroes, new name, same place. What's going on, everybody, and welcome to this very special edition of the Main Event Talk taking place right here on the 4th of July weekend. I am the Main Event Player, the Super C, the God Among Gods, the King Among Kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth. And there is a reason behind what I just did just a few moments ago, which I will explain in just a moment. Obviously, in this episode, we've got a lot we need to talk about, including the two-night event that's going to take place. We covered one night, and now we're about to cover another one in just a few days. And what I'm talking about is the Wednesday Night Wars go through a, let's just say, both events were considered pay-per-view events, but decided that they're going to go ahead and use these on their own television programming. So on one side, NXT has the Great American Bash, has done one night, and they're going to do another. And AEW Dynamite has Fyter Fest, which will also cover that as well, of night one. And then we'll also talk about night two in just a moment. But before we go ahead and talk about that, I know that some of you guys, this is just a regular episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. No, we have not done part 7 yet, but just to remind everybody, there will be a part 7 coming up. Just in case you wonder what I'm talking about, for the past few days, the Main Event has been working on a Thank You Taker tribute, and that's what I've been working on for the past few days. Everything from the beginnings of The Undertaker to his debut at Survivor Series, from the emergence of the Dead Man to the American Badass to some of his greatest matches of all time. And when we last left you, we had a match between Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker at SummerSlam, which I had a little commentary in this whole deal. So if you guys have an opportunity to hear part 1 through part 6, get an opportunity to hear everything and so much more. Not to mention that fact that I decided that yes, I'm gonna go ahead and add some promos to it. I mean, it wouldn't be fun if I didn't add a little promo, especially when it comes to people like Paul Heyman, who adds some of the best promos you could possibly hear. So that was great in its own side. But also, to give you just a preview about what's going to happen in the next couple of days, we are actually going to try to go from, let's see, here we are at part 6, right? And we may possibly go from part 7 all the way down to part 10, because that's what I'm looking to launch. That's what I'm looking to head straight to. So there's going to be 3 more parts coming to these episodes of the Main Event Talk podcast, Thank You Taker. And to tell you about what's going to happen in each episode, we're not only going to talk about, obviously we got to talk about the Hell in a Cell match, the final chapter between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Also, the 25th anniversary of the debut of The Undertaker when he first appeared at Survivor Series back in 1990. We'll also cover that as well. And we'll talk about his matches, including Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker at Hell in a Cell in WrestleMania, and also The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns, and was it The Undertaker's very last match? We'll cover that and so much more, and also the Last Ride documentaries that have been appearing on the WWE Network, if you guys had an opportunity to check them out. So be ready, guys. There's going to be a whole lot more episodes coming in the next few days, and possibly maybe one more week to come, depending on how that stuff goes. And also, we're getting closer and closer to the anniversary show, which is going to take place on the 16th of July. And the 16th, of course, not only is it my debut of the Main Event Talk, happening right here, right now, but also something else. I don't think I want to tell you what it is. For those that know what it is, there's no explanation needed. For those that wonder, you're just going to have to wait until the anniversary show from 7/16/19. I'm actually going to try and make that a part 1, part 2, if I get the opportunity. So be ready for that, guys. Be ready for that episode, part 1, part 2 of the anniversary show on 7/16/20. And also, more on The Undertaker, on the Thank You Taker episode. So be ready for that. Now, before we get into this, there was one little significant thing that I wanted to talk about. Now, as I mentioned, you guys heard the song that happened just a few minutes ago, a song called The Memory Will Never Die from The Default. Now, The Default's a tremendous band, love their music and everything. There's a significant reason as to why that song happened, and there's a significant reason as to why this episode is taking place. We're on the 4th of July weekend, and even though this episode was supposed to have been released around the 4th of July, I had, you know how when you go to your Facebook and when you have, you go to these things called memories, right? Memories that you had from a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, depending on how long you've been a part of Facebook. Well, I had one in particular that happened about 5 years ago. And I kept thinking about this over and over again. I thought, should I or should I not? And then I decided that maybe I should. Maybe I should go ahead and bring it up just because number one, you know, I feel the need to kind of remind a lot of people about what happened 5 years ago. And also, you know, to kind of remind myself that despite all the things that have happened within the past few months with this whole ridiculous madness that we've been going through in the past few months, just remember there's this old expression goes, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and we need to get to it as soon as possible. So to kind of brief you in on what this is about, it was July 4th, 2015. The main event was at home. I was enjoying my day off. I had a 3-day weekend, so to speak. And I was getting myself prepared for the 4th of July. I was getting myself ready to try and, you know, spend time with friends, spend time with family and everything. You know, try to have myself a good time, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, I was looking through my Facebook and I kept seeing so many of these post about somebody who apparently had died, and I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but it was clear, and it wasn't really officially confirmed about what happened, but apparently someone had, apparently two people were on a plane over by Portland, Texas, and they were on this plane and they were I guess enjoying a little flying, and I'm not sure exactly the significance of what happened afterwards, but I believe these two had crashed, and also at the same time they had died. And this was right around the 4th of July, and I wasn't sure, but when I had a chance to check out Channel 3, I was watching the news and they covered it, and apparently everyone's worst fears came true, because the two people that were on that plane and that crashed and died, one person I don't really know quite well, but the other person I've known for a long time. As a matter of fact, a lot of people knew who this person was, and the first person was Ross Mitchell, and the other was Catherine George. Now, these two were in a plane, and I'm not sure exactly the outcome of what happened, but we know that they both died in a plane crash, and they had passed away after that, right around the 4th of July. And this was about 5 years ago. You know, I think about that. You know, whenever you go through your memories, whenever you go through some stuff, you know, you think back to what happened, and it's just still crazy that it almost feels like it was yesterday. It almost feels that way. You know, some people say it's bad to think about stuff like that, especially when we're going through these problems that we've been having in the past few weeks, this whole COVID-19 and this whole pandemic. You know, I don't think about Catherine that much every day, but when the 4th of July comes around, and when I see that, you know, it's a reminder. It's a reminder of a whole lot. Did Catherine George mean something to me? Absolutely. She was not only a beautiful person, she was also a cool friend. I've known Catherine for a very, very long time. I would say probably We knew each other probably, I think it was 2009 or 2010. Catherine has known me, has known George, let's see, I think has known Hector, John Luna, of course Mondo, you know, and everything. She was, you know, like I said, a beautiful person to talk to, someone, you know, cool I've met for a long, long time. She reminded me, just kind of give you a brief story here, she reminded me a whole lot of, like, this girl named Stella, right? A long time ago, just kind of give you this idea, a long time ago, the Disney Channel, and I'm bringing up the Disney Channel in the middle of a fucking wrestling promo here, a wrestling podcast here, there was a show called the Jonas, right? And Jonas, obviously, when you think of Jonas, you think of the Jonas Brothers, you know, you think of them. Joe Jonas had this, I guess an off and on relationship with this girl named Stella, this beautiful blonde, gorgeous, I guess is, like a gossip column or something like that. I don't know, if I remember that correctly. Catherine George reminded me a lot like her, just because they were both blonde, they were both beautiful, they were both models in their own right, and everything. And every time I would see Catherine, I would call her Stella, just because she looked like Stella. and I think she was in a relationship with Mondo at the time. I could be wrong. I don't know the whole story behind that, but I think. Does that mean that Mondo is Joe Jonas? So, you know, there's a picture I have of Catherine on my Facebook. I think I probably have already posted where she's there at the House of Rock. This was around 2010, 2011, I believe. And this was when I think the Periwinkle Massacre was on stage. I have that picture on my Facebook. And it's still something I remember to this day and everything. And Catherine George is a beautiful person, great person to talk to. You know, I had, we've been friends for quite a while and everything, and she's been a part of several shows and everything. Another thing is she was, she's also a model. She's also a model. I'm not sure if her Facebook, page is still there, but she has done several modelings, including, I guess she's a horror person, you know, someone that's taken pictures of, I've seen her dripped in blood with a big knife in her hands, or I think I remember seeing something about a wedding dress, you know, and like all that stuff and everything, and, you know, great pictures that she's taken and everything, and I have seen them, I have posted them on Facebook, and I have, you know, showed it to everybody, and others I know have seen them before, and they're beautiful pictures. She's been a part of several modeling contests. Some she's won a whole lot and everything. And it was cool. It was very, very cool. So now I'm thinking about this from 5 years ago and, you know, just trying to keep her memory alive and everything else like that. You know, for me, I always like to keep the friends I've known for a long time, you know, in my head and my memories and everything, because sometimes we forget about these people. We do. For me, I never forget them. Like Catherine George, I'll never forget her. Or my best friend, Adam Ramos from several years ago, I'll never forget him. Or any of my relatives that I have that lost a few years ago. I recently lost an uncle several months ago before this whole pandemic started. It's one of those things that you don't want to ever forget. I don't want to ever forget about what happened 5 years ago. And I don't want Catherine George's name to not be in the minds of many. And I'm sure that Mike George, I believe it's her brother, someone that's been on my Facebook for a while, we've had a chance to talk to each other before. I think it's been a while since me and him have been around each other. We've never really meet each other face to face, but we've actually have talked to each other on Facebook. So I think he's a metalhead in his own right, and I believe he's also a wrestling fan as well. And come to think of it, I think, if memory serves me correctly, I think I'm trying to remember if Catherine George was a, I think she liked John Cena. I think I remember something about her liking John Cena. I could be wrong. It could be wrong, but you know, you may never know. I mean, she may not. I don't know. But the thing was, I hadn't talked to Mike in a while, and I actually tagged him on this episode to, you know, let him know that we are thinking about Catherine today. I am, and everybody else should, because, you know, someone like her, I don't ever want to let her name not be mentioned or be recognized. Because sometimes, for me, I like to always remember the people that I love, the people I respect, and the people that have meant something to me. Adam had meant a lot to me, my best friend for a long, long time. Catherine George, I would say she meant something to me, and not in any sort of way, you know, just as a real cool friend, you know, because I have talked to her many times before. We've talked to each other on Facebook, and we've talked to each other face to face, and she's one of the coolest people to meet. Very kind and compassionate individual. And I don't know a whole lot about Ross Mitchell, but he's someone that I don't think anybody should forget either. You know, to the friends and family of Ross Mitchell, I don't think he should be forgotten either. So, to close this out so we can get on with what we need to do, the only thing I could tell a whole lot of people is that the friends and family that you have, and during this time where we're going through this chaos and this pandemic and this whole ridiculous thing about the world being turned upside down, because it feels that way right now. You know, one minute the bars are open, the next minute they're closed. One minute we're thinking that everything is going to be okay, and the next minute everything goes to hell in a handbasket. My advice to everyone is be very close to your friends. Be very close to your family. And even around days like the 4th of July, doesn't matter if you've known them for today, if you've known them for a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years. Be there for them every chance you get. Doesn't matter if it's face to face, or if it's online, or on Twitter, or on Instagram, or social media, however you want to do it. Try to be there for them as much as you can. Because sometimes, and especially times like this, you never know when they may not be around much longer. I've always asked myself that question. I mean, am I going to be around much longer? Or any of my friends going to be around much longer? What's going to happen? To me, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you remember that you're there for them, and they'll be there for you. Catherine George meant a lot to a whole lot of people. They were there for her, and she was there for them. She'll never be forgotten. Her name will be etched in stone. She was a beautiful person, great human being. Very cool person to talk to. She is still loved. she is still missed. And one day, all of us will get an opportunity to see her once again. And on a personal note, on a very personal note, I miss you, Stella. We'll see each other again soon, okay? You'll never be forgotten. Never. We love you. We'll see you soon, Stella. Very soon.
Strong versus Dexter Lumis in the first ever NXT strap match. Plus, a huge elimination match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. And NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai goes one-on-one with WWE Women's Tag Team Champion Sasha Banks. The Great American Bash is coming to NXT this Wednesday, 8, 7 Central, only on USA.
Well, the first night of the Great American Bash and also the first night of the Wednesday Night Wars start. And we begin with NXT's Great American Bash. Now, the funny thing is, AEW already had their Fyter Fest already announced many weeks ago, probably a month ago when this whole pandemic started. And even I wasn't sure if this whole Fyter Fest thing was going to happen. Now, they weren't going to do it on pay-per-view, so they decided that they're going to go ahead and use this time to not only put it on Dynamite and everything. The first time I heard when AEW was going to go ahead and do this whole two-night thing, I'm like, are you kidding me? And the first thing that came to my head was, they're trying to pull off something like a WrestleMania. And it's like, first of all, you can't do that because, number one, the event is not that big. Number two, the event's not that important. And three, if anything, is it going to be interesting? Well, there were a couple of things that were interesting about the event. A few matches that were going to take place on the side of AEW. You had the AEW tag team titles being defended. Omega and Adam Page would be defending their titles against the best friends of Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta, which I'm still going to call him Trent Barretta no matter what anybody says. And also one match that was supposed to have taken place on that event didn't happen. And we'll discuss that in just a moment. But let's go ahead and talk about the Great American Bash. Let's talk about that. Because the funny thing was, with AEW having their event to take place on Wednesday nights on AEW Dynamite, NXT needed to counter this. NXT needed to find a way, okay, so if they're going to have their event for a two-night event, we should do the same thing. You know, kind of like the way the Monday Night Wars used to be a long time ago. So what did they do? They decided to go ahead, well, wait a minute. It's around the 4th of July weekend. We're getting closer and closer to that event, so why not use something that the WWE has already done? Or the WCW has already done. So NXT used In Your House, right? They used In Your House about several weeks ago, which worked out perfectly. And now NXT decides, okay, we're going to change that. So instead of using, you know, instead of trying to do an In Your House event or something like that, why don't we use something that Dusty Rhodes has used before? So I'm like, okay, well, what are they going to use? Yes, I see. The Great American Bash. And that's exactly what they did. They went ahead and decided they're going to use that match in every way possible. So I'm like, okay, well, this works out. So let's look at some of the results that took place at the Great American Bash. Let's see if we can Now, even though I know some of the matches that have taken place, let's see if we have... All right, here we go. Okay, I found it. There's the report. Let's go to the Wikipedia page and everything else like that. Okay, we got that. Let's see. 2020. Okay. Now, so far, these are some of the matches. Okay, so we've got one side here. Here are some of the matches that have taken place over at the Great American Bash from this past Wednesday on NXT Great American Bash. In the first matchup, you got the Fatal 4-Way match for the to determine who will be the number one contender to take on the NXT Women's Champion, Io Shirai. In this matchup, you had Tegan Nox versus Candice LeRae versus Dakota Kai. Love her. And, of course, Mia Yim. This matchup was awesome in every way possible. You couldn't put this at a better pace in every way possible. Four women vying for an opportunity to go after the NXT Women's Championship. So the main event is not going to suspense with the formalities in this whole situation here. So the winner of this matchup was Tegan Nox. Now, my prediction, I was kind of thinking that maybe Dakota Kai or Candice LeRae would have won it. But Tegan Nox actually winning the number one contenders match was actually not only was good, it actually made sense. Especially when you follow Tegan Nox's career of the fact that she was a part of the Mae Young Classic years ago. The fact that she had suffered an injury which put her away for an entire year. And then all of a sudden she comes back stronger than ever. And then she gets stabbed in the back at the hands of Dakota Kai back over in NXT TakeOver War Games in 2019. And now Tegan has an opportunity to not only win this match, but gets an opportunity to go after a championship she wanted to get her hands on the most, and that is the NXT Women's Championship. And now she has an opportunity to do it. So congratulations going out to Tegan Nox for winning the Fatal 4-Way Elimination match at NXT's Great American Bash. Now we go to a singles matchup right here between Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan. Now this one right here, I'm impressed with how this matchup looked, because this, when I see this match between these two, it's two great wrestlers. And keep in mind the words wrestler. All right, wrestler, okay, not wrestler, wrestling, wrestler, okay, put that in your fucking mouth. You got these two competing against each other. You got one man who is a submission artist and the other who's a very tough individual. And I got to admit, I love this. I like this guy, Timothy Thatcher, because not only is he a very tough individual, he's also a pretty good submission artist. He was the man that took out, I believe it was Matt Riddle, on a match that was called a pit fight match that took place over at NXT a couple of weeks ago. And it was good. It was good. This was like a combination steel cage, octagon, a cage fight, if you will, between these two. And this is something that I like about NXT, because while you have the other channel that goes by silliness, ridiculous, and stupidity, NXT brings something serious and something that's going to make you say, my fucking God, this is a fucking fight. And that's exactly what happened. So in this matchup with Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan, this wasn't about a cage match. This was about two men competing against each other. No interferences from anybody, just two men battling it out one-on-one, which that is the way it should be. And Timothy Thatcher is really, he's not only a badass wrestler, he's very, very tough in the ring. And to not suspense with the formalities, now Oney Lorcan's a very good wrestler too, in his own right. And I've seen him not only in singles competition, but in tag team competition as well. So he's very, very good at what he does in the ring. At the end, Timothy Thatcher, just like he did with Matt Riddle, went ahead and made Oney Lorcan tap out in this match. Your winner, Timothy Thatcher. And I gotta say, matchup was good, very hard-hitting, very serious, very competitive, and I'm hoping we see more matches like this in NXT. But then again, a lot of the matches that you see in NXT are not only high innovative and you know, great at what it is, but it's also very competitive, which is something that you don't see that much in wrestling anymore. Okay, this one right here was a handicap match for this is funny to watch. It's Rhea Ripley in a handicap match against Aaliyah and Robert Stone. And it says here, if Rhea Ripley loses, she has to join the Robert Stone brand. Now, let me give you a brief history as to who Robert Stone is. Now, for those of you that know who he is, I don't have to explain anything to you. But to the rest, Robert Stone, we know him as a manager right here on NXT. And we know he managed Chelsea Green. And the story behind Chelsea Green, I'm not sure where the fuck the storyline's going. And if she's in the main roster, first of all, it's a stupid mistake. And number two, she should stay in NXT until she's fully developed. And I'm not talking about the body, because she has a very fully developed body, just as Zack Ryder. But I'm talking about, you know, she still has a long way to go before she can get to the main roster. But whoever's idea was to put her in the main roster should be shot in the fucking head. That's just me, though. But anyways, Robert Stone, most of you guys know him as Robbie E. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? Well, just in case, a long, long time ago, there was this thing called Impact Wrestling, or they used to be called TNA Wrestling a long time ago. They're still called Impact Wrestling, but in a sort of a different format. And a long time ago, long, long time ago, the WWE had its own version of the New Jersey Shore in Zack Ryder, right? So the TNA decided to come up with its own version of a Zack Ryder. And what they do, they go ahead and decide to go to the, let's see, the proverbial bag, look into this whole thing involving the Jersey Shore, and they found somebody with a perfectly tan body, someone with a six pack, someone who looks like he's worked out in the gym for like 24 hours, and has his hair parted up to here like a damn porcupine. And he would be known as Robbie E. Now, I looked at him as a Zack Ryder wannabe. And to others, people would see Robbie E. as the man who would take on Zack Ryder, which, believe it or not, is a future match that a lot of people want to see. Zack Ryder versus Robbie E. And ironically enough, when Robert Stone came into NXT, who does he manage? Zack Ryder's wife, Chelsea Green. Wow. Ain't that a fucking coincidence? You know? So now, and just to kind of get in this whole story with Robert Stone, he looks like a fucking drunk. When he lost Chelsea Green, he looked like a bum came off the streets. His glass, he looked like Jameson from 1991. Do you remember when the Bushwhackers had their manager, Jameson? Right, the one with the glasses that looked like there was a fork on one side and a toothpick on the other, right, or something like that, and his suit looked like it needed to go to the cleaners by pieces or something like that. That's what Robert Stone started to look like. So Robert Stone had this idea that he was going to have a handicap match with Aaliyah against Rhea Ripley, who was one of the top stars in NXT, and if Robert Stone wins, she would have to join the Robert Stone brand. Now, I saw the handicap match. I looked at it from head to toe, and I said to myself, okay, who's really handicapped here? Is it Rhea Ripley, or is it Robert Stone and Aaliyah? Because Robert Stone and Aaliyah look like they're getting their ass kicked at the hands of Rhea Ripley. And then at the very end, and I'm not going to suspense with the formalities, Rhea Ripley hit a fucking, some sort of a submission hold, got them both and made them both tap out like little bitches. Your winner, Rhea Ripley. So that means Robert Stone can no longer try to uphold Rhea Ripley as part of the Robert Stone brand. See ya. Take it easy. Goodbye. Let's move on to the next match, shall we? The next matchup involving is a classic, something that the Great American Bash has had before, a strap match. On one side, you got Dexter Lumis, the man who looks like a cross between, I would say, the show Dexter and the movie Psycho and... What other movie am I? Oh, American Psycho. And not to mention the fact that those of you that know who Dexter Lumis is, I think I've probably mentioned this somewhere on my podcast. Dexter Lumis used to be Samuel Shaw years ago in TNA Wrestling. And the dude looked like a serial killer. This dude looked like he wanted to fuck somebody up so bad. And it's so funny. I'm seeing Dexter Lumis, right, on one side. And then the other side, you got the Undisputed Era's Roderick Strong in a strap match. Now, for years, the strap match has always been used at the Great American Bash, and this would be no exception. Now, the odd thing I find so funny about this match is you got these two in a strap match, right? And you figured the guy that looks like a psychopath, guy that looks like he's staring a hole through you, you figured he'd be a heel, right? He'd be the bad guy. And Roderick Strong would be the babyface. But for some odd reason, people seem to like serial killers. People seem to like men who stare at people that look like they're going to kill you. Something's definitely wrong here, but it was a good match. It was a good match in every way possible between Dexter Lumis and Roderick Strong. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I was going to go ahead and pick Dexter Lumis because for some odd reason, even though it doesn't make sense about what they're doing to Dexter Lumis, they know that he's a star and he's something very, very special. And Roderick Strong, you know, he's been in NXT for quite a while. He's faced off against some of the best. He's won championships. And now he has an opportunity to win the first ever. And yes, we've seen strap matches before. But for NXT, this is the first time because it's never been done on NXT television before. So these two went at it. Great matchup, head to toe. And my God, I mean, every time I saw that strap being hit on Dexter Lumis, it's like he didn't have much of a facial expression. It's almost like, thank you, sir, may I have another. Every single time I see Roderick Strong with that strap slapping it right across the chest of Dexter Lumis, the dude looked like he was about to, like, he doesn't look like he's in a whole lot of pain. He's kind of like the Undertaker of years ago or Kane from years ago who will take the pain in any way possible. And this dude looked like he was about to beat the living shit out of you, which exactly happened. And despite the fact that Bobby Fish was going to try and come in and interfere in the match, didn't do so well. Didn't come out so well in any way possible. So therefore, Roderick Strong came into submission at the hands of Dexter Lumis, your winner of the strap match, Dexter Lumis. Great match. Dig it. Was great. Now, the next matchup here would involve, let's see. Let me see if I get to this real quick. The next matchup involve Sasha Banks, the one half of the Women's Tag Team Champions, and the other is Io Shirai. Now, as the old expression goes, I'm not going to suspense with the formalities. Great match. Digged it. Loved it. And for some odd reason, I knew Io Shirai was going to win the match. Sasha Banks had tried everything in his power to beat her. Bayley was being an annoying little bitch. I'm sorry, let me call it like I see it in every way possible. That's pretty much what happened. And then, all of a sudden, Asuka shows up. And it's like, wait a minute, What the fuck is she doing here? And we all know that Asuka is going to be going one-on-one against Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship at Extreme Rules, which is going to take place around July 8th, Sunday, on the WWE Network, which we will discuss that for another day. So Asuka comes in, interferes in the match. The referee didn't see it. She was hit with green mist. Io Shirai took advantage of the entire situation. Comes in with the move. 1, 2, 3. Io Shirai wins over not only the one half of the tag team champions, but also a former Raw Women's Champion and a former NXT Women's Champion. So Io Shirai made history by defeating pretty much an NXT legend, if we can, in Sasha Banks. So that was just the first night of the Great American Bash. That was just night one. Now, here's what's going to happen next week on night two of the Great American Bash. Just to give you an idea, there's been 3 matches announced, and no doubt there's going to probably be more along the way here. Now, we have a match involving, let's see, a 6-man tag team matchup. It's going to feature Breezango and Tyler Breeze and Fandango teaming up with Drake Maverick to take on the team of Santos Escobar, Jack, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Jacqueline Wild, and Raul Mendoza. So this is going to be a great 6-man matchup. It's going to take place at the Great American Bash. Mia Yim to go one-on-one against Candice LeRae in a street fight. And also, it's winner-take-all, champion versus champion. Keith Lee, the North American champion, to defend the championship against Adam... Keith Lee defending the championship against Adam Cole. And, well, most of you guys have heard the story about some of the spoilers. Okay, and I'm not going to mention any spoilers. I think I know because I'm reading through the Wikipedia page, reading through the matches. And all I can say is, you know, I know who fucked it up. I know who did it besides Chris Jericho. Somebody else fucked it up for everybody. But nonetheless, that's going to take place next week. Winner take all. Keith Lee, the North American champion, to go one-on-one against NXT champion Adam Cole, who's living 400 days as champion today. 400 days as NXT champion. Pretty much one of the longest reigns happening in NXT history. Now, okay, so we go from NXT's Great American Bash. Let's get to AEW's Dynamite Fighter Fest. Okay, we have some of the matches that have taken place here. Here's the Wikipedia page. Okay, now, here are the matches that are going to take place. They've already announced some of these matches, and they're going to put out day two, which looks like it's going to be a tremendous. Now, this is going to take place around July 8th. So let me go ahead and announce what's going to happen at an AEW's Fighter Fest. And this one, and possibly one of the most ridiculous matches in the history of AEW, it's going to be Chris Jericho going one-on-one against Orange Cassidy. This is not funny. This is not ridiculous. This is not a joke. This is going to actually happen. Chris Jericho going to go one-on-one against possibly the laziest professional wrestler I've ever seen in Orange Cassidy. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but the match is going to take place nonetheless. In other matches, also we got Lance Archer going one-on-one against Joey Janela, the bad boy, Joey Janela. A couple things. Number one, Joey Janela is not a bad boy. Number two, he looked like the guitar player for Damn Yankees. And number three, he's out of shape and he needs to lift his fucking pants up. And number four, all I can say is Lance Archer is going to beat his ass. That's all I can say about that. In the next matchup, Nyla Rose is going to be in a matchup over at Fyter Fest. No opponent has been announced just yet. Also, a six-man matchup that's going to take place over at Fyter Fest as Colt Cabana and the Dark Order of Brody Lee and Stu Grayson to take on the team of SoCal Uncensored, which is Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. It's going to be a tremendous matchup right there. And also, this is possibly going to be one of the craziest eight-man tags I've ever seen. It's going to feature the artist formerly known as The Revival, FTR of Cash Wilder and Dax Hardwood, and the Young Bucks of Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson to take on the Butcher and the Baker and the Candlestick Maker and, oh, I'm sorry, of the Butcher and the Blade to take on the Lucha Brothers of Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix. Okay, that's going to be what's going to take place at Fyter Fest. And also, Kenny Omega and Adam Page are going to be defending their tag team championships against the team of Private Party of Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn with Matt Hardy in their corner. So basically, it's the tag team championship is on the line. Kenny Omega and Adam Page will defend on the Street Profits, or the other version of the Street Profits. Private Party of Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy with Matt Hardy in their corner. That's going to take place next week or this coming week on day two of Fyter Fest. Let's get into the first matchup of day one, which took place a couple of days ago at AEW's Fyter Fest. In this matchup with the tag team matchup, the Jurassic Express of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus to take on the team of MJF and Warlord. And I'm not going to suspense with the formalities. Let's just say that... Okay, I'll just say it. MJF and Warlord were defeated at the hands of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, with Marco Stunted Growth getting involved in the match. That's what took place. That's what happened. And I wonder, why did this even happen anyway? The Women's Championship matchup was decided to AEW Women's Championship. Akira Shida defended her championship against Penelope Ford, with Kip Sabian in her corner, which he wasn't there. Is it just me, or does Penelope Ford look a little bit like Liv Morgan? Probably not. Okay, well, let's move on. We're not going to get into much about this. Let's just say that Penelope Ford didn't win. Shida won. One AEW World's Women's World title. And that's it. We move on to the next matchup. This one is for the AEW TNT Championship. Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson in his corner defending the championship against Jake Hager with his wife, Catelyn, in her corner. Now, a couple things come to mind. Number one, that championship needs to be fixed, okay? Fix it, all right? Do something with the championship. I'm starting to hate the silver, okay? On the belt, do something with the title. It looks like it's not finished. And you guys have all the time in the world to take that championship, take it over to some shop, and fix it, all right? I do me a favor. Put some gold on it. Put some gold on it just so you can make the championship legitimate. Can you please do that? All right, I would appreciate it if you do that. Thank you very much. Now, let's move on with this. Matchup was tremendous. Digged it. Controversial fashion, Cody Rhodes wins the matchup. And Jake Hager knocks out the referee and gets fined and suspended for I don't know how long. Which was a very stupid move on his part. Don't understand why. All right, the next matchup, we had Private Party. We've already talked about this. Private Party and the Inner Circle. I'm not going to suspense with the formalities on this one either. The Inner Circle loses against Private Party, which now makes them the number one contenders. And they will take on the winner of the Tag Team Championship matchup to take place, which we will talk about right here, which will be Kenny Omega and Adam Page to defend their titles against Best Friends in Chuck Taylor and Trip Beretta. Now, here's the thing, and I'll say this right here, right now. I wasn't impressed with the match. I really wasn't. For a couple reasons. Number one, it was a bit long. A little. Number two, the officiating was bad. Very bad. Despite the fact that FTR was over at ringside, or not at ringside, but over on the commentary table, that was pretty good. But this match was just bad. It was just so bad. So bad. You know how bad this was? Let me tell you how bad this was. You had these two, right? Best friends of Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor. They had the match won. They had the match won in every way possible. But all of a sudden, you know what they do? They go ahead and decide they're going to hug it out in the middle of the ring during a championship match. Really? During a championship match, you have an opportunity to take the tag team titles away from Kenny Omega and Adam Page, and you're going to go ahead and hug right during this match. Are you fucking kidding? Are you out of your mind? Here's the smart thing. Why don't you go ahead and hug it out when you win the tag team titles? That would not only make sense, it would be brilliant. But no, as usual, brilliancy does not come along with AEW. So, pretty much the AEW Tag Team Champions took advantage of the situation. Hangman Adam Page hits him with the lariat. 1, 2, 3, still your Tag Team Champions. AEW's Tag Team Champions, Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page. And not only was this a bad match, it got a whole lot worse after that. So, you know what happened after that? Here's FTR coming out, bringing out a couple of beer bottles. We know Hangman Adam Page likes to drink a beer. Kenny Omega with a beer in his hand. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've seen this dude drink milk before. What makes me think he's going to drink some fucking beer? So he's there, he's just holding onto the beer, he's hesitating, and he pours the fucking beer out of the ring right in front of FTR. Okay, first of all, we know Kenny Omega is not a man. And number two, you do this in front of FTR, you're out of your fucking mind. Number three, you do this in front of an entire audience and they're looking at Kenny Omega like a little fucking bitch. And number four, if people like Stone Cold Steve Austin, James Storm, and others had an opportunity to see what he just did, Kenny Omega would have had his ass beat by two grown-ass men in James Storm and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because the difference between Kenny Omega, Austin, and James Storm is those two will drink beer, those two don't give a fuck, and those two are the living embodiment of what professional wrestling looks like. Kenny Omega is just a flip-flop artist who has no fucking clue, who'd rather play video games and drink milk than go get laid and drink beer. I'm starting to hate Kenny Omega every single time when I see this guy. So, to end this, because we're getting closer and closer to the end here, Fyter Fest was good. NXT Great American Bash was better. And how was it better? Oh, quite simple. Just look at the ratings. The ratings showing that NXT beat AEW for the second week in a row. So what's going to happen next week on day two of the Great American Bash and day two of Fyter Fest? We're going to see what happens in every way possible, and no doubt the main event is going to be covering both AEW's Fyter Fest and the Great American Bash. Now, there was one match that was scheduled to happen, but I think we're going to go ahead and talk about that next week. All right, so get an opportunity to check out the next episode of the Main Event Talk podcast as we talk about day two of the Great American Bash and Fyter Fest on AEW and on NXT and so much more. Plus, don't forget to check me out and, you know, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and the whole nine yards. And not to mention, be ready for the next few episodes of the Main Event Talk podcast. Thank you, Taker, and the Main Event will see you next week on another great episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. Why? Because I can and I want to. Any questions? Enough said. NXT's Great American Bash was great. AEW Fyter Fest sucks. Let's see what happens on day two.